to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Social Joey. Here is your host, Jack Munson.
Welcome back, my friends, to the podcast that never ends. It is Social Geek Radio. Hey, geeks, we have a special guest with us today. It's Mitchell Levy joining us from the great state of California. Mitchell, how are you?
Man, what a great radio voice you have. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Man, I love this guy already.
Well, you know, you just want to listen to you. I mean, it's
Give us a little background on what you're doing these days. I know you've got a stack of books and lots of companies that you've helped, but tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Well, besides the family stuff, because 20 minutes is just such a short period of time, we'll give you a 7 second. I empower experts, thought leaders, and corporations to share their genius. So then you say, okay, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What we do is it's really a done-for-you book service. And so I'll do a two-hour interview with anyone who has clients they serve. I will pull the genius from their head. I'll share it with my ghostwriters. I've sent them through writing school. And they will write a book that's comprised of 140 bite-sized quotes and 7 blog posts. And we will publish it in hardcover, paperback, PDF, Kindle, and also the Ahava platform, which has 800,000 users. And we'll also make it an Amazon best-selling book. So it's really the I need to be a thought leader. I need to be seen and heard for who I am. And I want to make sure that the audience that I serve knows that I'm an expert at what I do. Well, you write a book, and in this case, you don't have to waste your time writing a book. We'll do it for you.
Wow. And so you're pulling content that that these thought leaders have created over a pretty long amount of time. Is that right?
So can I say, I'm going to say no. How about okay. I say I politely disagree?
Please.
So I actually will do a two-hour interview. So I guess they've created it. You could say they've created it over the period of time. But here's what's really fascinating. Okay. When you have a problem, when you have an issue, that's when you go to look for somebody for help, right? You say, I have a problem with, I need to implement a CRM. I need to implement a funnel. I need to figure out what to do with social media. I need to, and you fill in the blank, right? And what do you do when you have a problem? You go to friends that you know, like, and trust, and you go, hey, have you solved this? Or I know you've solved this problem. Who'd you use? How'd you do it? How'd you make it happen? And the interesting part is if they're not thinking of you, you haven't given them the tool set for them to think about you and who you are that you could solve their problem, they're going to go to their friend Google and they're going to say, I have a problem with. Okay. And in essence, they're going to say, I have a pain point. Can you solve it? So what I do on the interview is I'll talk with the expert and we'll talk about the pain point that they solve for their prospects. And we'll spend 2 hours talking about the pain point and what they do and how they do it. And I'll try to put myself in the shoes of their customer base. And I'll ask the questions that their customers have so that when that person then goes to Google and says, I have a problem with, well, the title of your book happens to be the pain point they're having a problem with. And what happens if somebody goes to Google and says, I have a problem with, and the title of your book pops up? Who do you think they think is the expert?
Right. Literally the
guy.
That's you.
So that's what we do. So it's really and what it is, Jack, it's really that 2 hour interview pulling the genius out of somebody's head. And I have to tell you a side benefit. I don't sell this on the website. We don't talk about it. Is when you have somebody focusing on you for 2 hours, asking you and poking and inquiring and having you explain the aha moments that the author has themselves, that the expert has themselves. For a number of our authors, it's completely changed how they talk with their clients going forward because it's allowed them to think about their world in a different way. But we don't sell that. Basically, what I'm saying is, hey, you want a book and you want to be the best-selling author of a book 3 months from now, we could do that for you.
And tell me more about this aha moment, because I saw your TED Talk recently on video, And it was kind of an aha moment for me as well. And it definitely was for everybody in the audience. So tell us about getting to that aha moment with the people you're working with.
So, you know, in the old days, let's just say 20 years ago when I was, actually, I think I was in corporate longer than 20 years ago, but let's just say 20 years ago, old days, when I would be focused on helping people turn the light bulb on, see the world in a different way. And I kind of thought, well, maybe that happens to people every year or every other year. So I've completely changed my viewpoint. Mm-hmm. We have aha moments coming to us multiple times, maybe tens or hundreds of times every day. We have an opportunity to grow, learn, think about, and see the world in a different way in almost every situation we encounter. And unfortunately, most people turn their I don't want to see aha moments light bulb off, or I want to see light bulb moments, they turn that off. So what I'd say is, if you're open to who you interact with and who you hear from and who you learn from and who you grow with and what you do, there's always going to be a phenomenal opportunity for you to do something different, for you to have that aha moment. And that aha moment is that point in time when you think about something slightly different. So the TED Talk I did, so for those that want to Google either Mitchell Levy TED Talk or Being Seen and Heard as a Thought Leader, that's both a TED Talk and the book that I did, is focused on the primary concept that we are in this midst of this transition from the industrial age to the social age. And what I said is, well, how do we do that? How do we transition? And my aha moment was thinking about how do I make it simple? And so simply I say, what do we transition? We're moving to a world, if you think about just the word social age, we're moving to a world where we do business with those that we know, like, and trust. I mean, it's really that simple. And so how do you get known? How do you get liked? How do you get trusted, right? And really the like and trust, maybe having a book helps a little bit with the trust, but how do you get known is really what my company focuses on. But for those who are listening, you go, oh, I know that, Mitchell. We do business with those we know, like, and trust. Well, then ask yourself, what are you doing on a daily basis in each of those areas? And if you think to yourself, well, I'm not doing enough, but that's an aha moment. Right. So let me give you, I'll give you another aha moment. And this is from my book.
Okay.
So the book is called Being Seen and Being Heard as a Thought Leader. And one of the things that I did is I interviewed four other experts because I wanted to demonstrate what I think people should do. You don't have to be a thought leader. You don't have to continually originate new content. So I interviewed four other experts for my book. So that means 80% of the content in my book is somebody else's. And I want to share with you somebody else's piece of the content. And it's a guy by the name of Robert Clancy. Robert has a half million followers on Facebook. And Robert gave me aha number four. So let me read that to you.
Okay.
So aha number four says, and this is what an aha message is, just so you know, aha messages are designed to quickly get you to think about the world in a different way. So aha number four says, good thought leaders are at the top of the mountain. Great thought leaders are at the bottom of the mountain, helping others climb.
Yeah.
So anyone who's interested in servant, thank you, Jack, you got it. Anyone who's interested in servant leadership, you're like, oh, that's it. So wait a second. And then what that begs you to think about is, okay, well, do I on a daily basis, do I scream from the top of the mountain or am I at the bottom of the mountain helping people up? How many people have I helped up today, this week, this month? What are my plans for helping people in the future? Am I doing the right stuff, right? If a single phrase, a 7-second phrase can get you to think about all those things, that's an aha moment. And you don't need to know much more about Mitchell Levy than to say, hey, being seen and being heard as a thought leader and heard that aha message, you're like, oh, well, maybe I'd be interested in working with Mitchell. And that's what we do with our authors. We come up with 140 of those opportunities that somebody else is listening or reading or visualizing, and they go, oh, I want to work with Jack.
Trust. It seems so simple, right? But I have not heard anyone put it in those terms before. And it passes the test that I use in people who I want to work with on long-term projects, I call it the airport test. Could I stand to be stuck at an airport with this person for an extended period of time? Because at some point we probably will be, right? And if you know the person, right? If you know the person you like the person, you could actually sit there and have a good conversation, and you trust the person that they're going to, you know, watch your stuff or help you along the way as you're stuck at the airport. If you know, like, and trust them, then yeah, that's somebody who I definitely want to work with on an ongoing basis. And it mirrors my airport test. So it takes it into a few other directions. And you mentioned there is a fourth element too, that I think fits into this as well, right? The element of fun.
Oh, well, I do that in a TED talk, but what I was thinking about, so somebody else, when I said this,
okay,
we do this as with those that we know, like, and trust, they said, and remember.
Oh,
and I go, that's interesting to me. So I don't have that as part of the TED talk, but I'm thinking, that's fascinating. And so it was an aha moment for me that I haven't done anything with the and remember yet. But I think anyone who does good social media, anyone who continually touches their audience, just like this show does, you're doing a good job of the and remember. Oh, yeah, I remember Jackie. He can help me. But if they haven't heard your show in a month or two, they may not remember you, right?
Yeah, so yeah.
What I talk about is the world of the future. So the world, if you think about 1920, in 1920, we could buy any car we want in any maker, model, and any color, as long as it was a Ford Model T and it was black.
Right.
And the industrial age is really one where, if you think about it, a lot of what happens inside companies today, actually our educational system, is all structured around the things that Henry Ford put in place in 1920. So now let's fast forward 100 years, from 1920 to 2020. I think we're only halfway towards the transition from the industrial age to the social age.
Really? Only halfway? Okay.
Oh, that's a scary part that's the exciting part for me. There's so much, actually for Jack, for guys like you and me, that's an exciting part. But for most people, it's a little scary because everything's changing, right? What happens to the millions of bus drivers, cab drivers, Uber drivers, Lyft drivers, the truck drivers, the transportation system when everything is automated, right? When you have autonomous vehicles.
Yeah.
Well, you could say, hey, drivers no longer drive, but maybe they become concierges. Or maybe everyone has an Alexa and we don't have physical people, right? So life is changing, right? So the thing that's interesting about today's world, and I've got a 20-year-old, so I get to see this firsthand, is he typically doesn't want to do a job that he doesn't like. Right. So in the industrial age, we did stuff that we did because that was all that we could do. And somebody said, do this. And we said, okay. Well, nowadays, the type of work we should be doing is fun. Right. If you like what you do, then you could do what you like all the time. And that's part of what I talk about in the TED talk and what I talk about with my clients is, well, let's figure out what we can do together. Or what you can do that both satisfies an issue or satisfies a pain point people have, i.e. they'll pay you. And because you're doing that and getting paid for it, you're having fun at it. And so that's the win, right? Mm-hmm. The winning situation is you get to do what you love and love what you do.
And not have to do the job that someone did in the industrial age, or for some of us, that was even 5 or 10 years ago, or maybe 20 years ago.
Oh, well, it still exists today. I mean, there are so many jobs that are relevant or don't make sense. And this is a bigger picture that we need way more than 20 minutes to, but one of the problems we're having around the world is that not all governments are recognizing the need to educate their population on the changing nature of what's needed in society to make us have a better running, more efficient society. And the college systems and the educational systems are also not producing all the right people. So this transition is ultimately going to, at the end of the day, what do you need? As you know, when I was thinking about my son growing up, what does he need? Well, first, he needed to be able to ask the right question. Okay, so You know, if you think 20 years back, he had to ask the right question. Now, he not only needs to ask the right question, he needs to be able to intelligently interpret the results.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's different. Right? If you think about that, so who other than a doctor who needs to memorize a procedure, who needs to memorize textbook stuff anymore?
Right. You can access it.
Unless it's life or death and you need to know it immediately, you can look it up.
Yeah.
Well, that means if you can look all this stuff up, you don't need to spend 18 years memorizing stuff, but rather you could focus on practical implementation. Sorry, I just changed, everything changes. And as a result, if you think about, for instance, the world of education changing, well, you could start a new school, you could start a new process, you could start a new vocational school that helps teach people how to do something that's going to live tomorrow, that may or may not exist today, but certainly didn't live yesterday. And that produces opportunity. So to me, we're in a beautiful state of the world because there's opportunity for so many people. And I think, once again, going back to the aha moment, most people are not looking at the aha moment. They're not seeing the opportunity, but they're rather seeing, oh, I can't get a job doing what I need to do to pay what I need to do to live. And instead, they're not looking at the bigger picture. And Jack, I think if I look at the audience or the people you've interviewed before, there's some beautiful people doing some great things. And you think about some of the things they're doing, those things weren't available 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. We're in this ridiculously cool area right now where we can even talk about such things on a medium that didn't really exist 10 years ago. And how would we even have this conversation 10 years ago unless you came to my radio studio in Chicago and we booked time and, you know, it took you 4 hours to fly here and sit down and, you know, that probably would not have been on your schedule, right? But now here we are talking from, what, 2,500 miles away, having this conversation about things that are going to happen in 5 years, or maybe 5 years from now, we'll go back and listen to this episode and say, those guys were way off, but I don't think so.
Yeah, no.
So tell me a little bit about the apprehension some people have to letting themselves have that aha moment. You obviously run into that at some point, right? With the clients or the people you're speaking with where they won't let themselves move forward with that aha moment.
So here's what's really interesting. When you're born, when you're a baby, the world is absolutely wide open to you. And if you're lucky enough to have a good set of parents, your parents are telling you that the world's open to you and you have lots of opportunity. And then you enter the educational system. And then you spend 18 years being told there's one and only one answer, being told how many times you're wrong, being forced to take tests and quizzes that don't make sense. And all of a sudden, you're told that there's one way to do one thing, and that's it. Yeah. And so what happens is you're beaten. What's beaten out of you is your ability to be creative, to think, to see opportunity. And so I think what was fascinating, and one of the views I had was during the dot-com days, I'm in Silicon Valley, and I was one of those guys that was going around to both CEOs and VP operations and saying, you know, there's this new technology coming out. With this technology, we'll be able to touch customers directly, and we'll have to re-optimize our supply chains because no longer do we have to go through this convoluted supply chain process, spending millions, in cases, billions of extra dollars doing things that we don't need anymore. What that means is, some resellers will go away. Some resellers who get it will continue. Companies who figure out how to do this stuff quicker will be around. Those that don't will disappear. And I had CEOs and VP operations say, I don't think this internet thing's going to work.
Yeah. And right? By the way, the newspapers will never let that happen, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. I heard that one too, right? So the interesting part is every day when you're, what's fascinating in the industrial age is everything was stovepiped. Everything was one silo. And the cool part, and people who are part of CEO networking groups have seen this, if you, or people who are part of consulting companies that go across multiple industries, is things that work in some industries work really well in others, but people just don't think about it, mm-hmm. right? So I guess the thing I think about for your business, and to tie this all together for you, is to think about your customers. And it could be the customers you're serving today, or maybe even the customers you might serve tomorrow if you do something differently. And think about they wanting to do business with those that they know, like, and trust. Well, what can you do with them to help solve their problems that, A, they're interested in not just getting to know, like, and trust you, but to be able to share what you do with other people so you can grow your network, grow what you do. And as you're thinking about and talking to your customers, by the way, it's important to talk to your customers for those that need that reminder.
Yes.
As you're talking to your customers, ask them what they need that they're not getting anywhere else. And you might be surprised at what you hear. And maybe you solve it and make money, or maybe you become more like Kris Kringle and you recommend them to go elsewhere for other places. They become that resource that helps other people be successful. And the interesting part is, when you help other people be successful, whether or not you're making direct money or not, it's going to feel really good. And by the way, if you remember Miracle on 34th Street with Kris Kringle recommending that customers of Macy's go elsewhere, if you think about that, what happened is they went elsewhere for one product, but they came back and bought everything else. So Macy's sales went significantly higher.
Yeah.
So
and it built that trust.
Doing business with those that we know, like, and trust.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's what happens. That's why the word evangelist was powerful during, the dot-com days. You don't hear that word anymore, because being an evangelist is not a good thing. Because if you're only talking about a single point of contact, a single point of view, well, you're not being authentic. If you're not authentic, you can't be trusted. If you're not trusted, people don't want to do business with you.
Yeah. Yeah. That term has definitely lived out its shelf life, along with a few other things from those days. I think that's a great point to wrap it on here real quick, Mitchell. I do want to come back and get some further contact information from you for our folks. But first, a quick note that today's episode of Social Geek Radio was brought to you by Franchise Dictionary Magazine. The September issue is out soon, focusing on food franchises. The world is getting fresh. You can check it out at franchisedictionarymagazine.com. Okay, Mitchell Levy, tell me where people can connect and get some help and ask you some questions along their way. Where should we send these folks?
Sure. If you're looking for content to share on social media, mm-hmm. go to ahathat.com, ahathat.com. I've got 45,000 AHA messages. It's free to use, free to share. If you want to write a book, we have a three-step process. You can write it in 8 hours, or we can write it for you. It's ahathat.com/author. And if you want to reach out to me directly, just Google my name, Mitchell Levy. The social media companies have spent millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, to make sure that my name comes up with their site.
Yeah.
And connect me on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Google+, Pinterest, Snap, Instagram. So the platform that you want to play on is the one that I'd be happy to interact with.
I love that. That is a perfect attitude to have when trying to reach anyone and everyone. So, Mitchell Levy, thank you so much for joining Social Geek Radio today, and we look forward to hearing more from you very soon.
Thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2018 Social Geek Radio.